In the name of one God, creator, redeemer, and sustainer of our lives, amen. Today is September 29th, which means it's the feast of St. Michael and all angels. So that's what we're celebrating today, is the feast of St. Michael and all angels, right? So we have these texts from Genesis 28, where Jacob is on the run from his brother Esau, who's trying to kill him. And so he sleeps on the ground, and he puts a rock under his head for the pillow, and he has this dream. And in the dream, he sees this ladder, this ramp up to heaven, and angels are coming up and down the ladder, descending and ascending, and he hears God to say to him, I will bless you. And he wakes up, and he says, surely the presence of God was in this place, and I didn't know it. Then we have this reading from Revelation where, you know, there's this war in heaven, and Revelation itself is a vision. It's a dream. I mean, it's full of all kind of wacky, weird imagery that nobody really understands. And so in this vision, we have this war breaking out in heaven, and there's a dragon who is the Satan, the devil, and St. Michael and all the angels. And St. Michael and all the angels are at war with the Satan and all of the Satan's angels, and the angels are swept out of heaven and fall to the earth. And then they wreak all kind of havoc on the earth, and there's all kinds of weird beasts with seven heads and 10 horns and bear's feet and leopard's bodies, and it gets weird. It gets really weird. And then we have this story from John where Philip comes up to Nathanael, and Philip has this meeting with Jesus for the first time, and he comes up to Nathanael and he says, hey, we found the Messiah. We found the one who they talked about from Nazareth. And Nathanael's like, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Seriously? And Philip's like, well, come and see. So Nathanael's walking up, and Jesus sees him walking up, and he says, ah, here's an Israelite in whom there is no deceit. And Nathanael's like, how do you know me? And Jesus says, I saw you under the fig tree. And Nathanael says, oh, busted. He's like, Rabbi, you must be the Son of God. And Jesus says, are you really impressed that I just told you that I would see you under the fig tree? I'll tell you all, you're going to see something more. You're going to see the heavens opened up, and you're going to see the angels ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. This is curious. It's a really curious text. I mean, why is that so much more important? Like, what's so special about seeing angels ascending and descending upon the Son of Man? Why should that be such a phenomenal thing to see? Being part of this tradition, I mean, we have angels. I mean, and today is our celebration of angels. I remember when I was a kid, my mother talked to me about guardian angels and taught me that I had a guardian angel, right? I'm this little kid. I'm like, really, me? I have a guardian angel? God cares about me that much that I would get a guardian angel? I imagine this big old, you know, dude basically with wings, right, who was going to protect me. And that was really powerful. And then I, you know, grew up, and I mean, I got to adolescence, and my parents were half serious and half joking, and they would talk about the parking angels, right? Like when you go up to the Walmart or Costco or whatever, and you're driving around forever, and there's no parking, all of a sudden one way opens up, and they're like, ah, the parking angels, right? And there was, you know, the part that worried me was the half serious part of that. I'm like, well, what happens when you don't get parking? Where are the parking angels? Are they, you know, what are they doing? It's like, are they on break, or are they just being negligent, or maybe they decided you'd had too much to eat and you need the extra walk, right? And so you're going to park way out on the far end of the parking lot. I don't know. And I started, and I'm like, well, I don't know if I believe in parking angels. Like, I don't believe in parking angels. And I started kind of being agnostic about angels, right? So I'm curious, like, we live in a world, we live in a very material world. We live in a time where, you know, our lives are governed by science, and our how we think about the natural world, how we think about what we see is very much shaped by science. And some of this stuff feels like, I think to many people, like, is this... you know, the kind of residue of old beliefs that people used to have, old superstitions and fairy tales that people have. Is this something real? Like, are angels a real thing? I don't know. What do we do with that? So I'm going to ask you, what do you think about angels? What's your experience of angels? What do you know about angels? Go ahead, Mario, what? So you're saying, like, there have been moments where you've been just kind of lost and outside and you've had a prayer and all of a sudden somebody shows up and that feels like an angel. Yeah, even though it's a person. A messenger from God. Okay. How about others? Duncan? So as a young man, you've had experiences where it felt like, again, another moment of being lost, which it felt like it was just a person or a presence or a presence. Okay. How about others? Natasha. Okay, your mom never told you had a guardian angel. So it felt like. So you had that. She never talked about angels. She didn't put it in that. But you felt her love. And that became the source of security. You felt like you could rest in her love, in the bubble of her love. Yeah. Willeman. So your sense is that angels do come, and there is a sense of the messengers of God coming and helping you. Okay. Russ? Anybody agnostic about angels? Skeptical about angels? Sandy?
I was. Until I saw it played out in a person. So I had a colleague that basically saved the family. And I actually saw her as a manifestation of the divine. And to me, that's what meaningful is. And also when I
So you're saying at one point you were skeptical about the whole notion of angels, and then you had this experience of actually feeling the presence of the divine working through somebody in a situation that kind of helped shift your perspective on it. How about others? Sharon? Joan? Yeah. You're wondering was, is there a difference between the Holy Spirit and angels, right? And what's the connection and what's the difference? And it's actually this larger question of what's the difference between an angel and what's the difference between God? And the activity of God and the work of God. And within the biblical, when the Old Testament, especially when the Old Testament talks about angels, they're always messengers of God. It's almost like angels are the hands and feet of God in some level. And the focus isn't on them as like the separate being, the separate spiritual being. It really is, no, these are the messengers. These are the people who do the will of God. And so is there a distinction between angels and God? What is the distinction between angels and God? That's a great question. Because the focus can be too much on angels. Like we're, you know, there are people who are like really focused on angels. And the way the Bible talks about them, it's like, no, actually, the focus is really on God. Yeah, so that's one way of thinking of it, yeah. That angels would be a manifestation of God's love, ultimately. Yeah, Mercedes. Dan. Yeah, so I mean, part of that story is, you know, Maggie's in the hospital, and it's a time of great concern, and this person's calling up and saying, hey, she had a vision of angels and being in that room and being in that place, and the result was you had a profound experience of peace in the presence of God as a result. Is that fair? Yeah. Yeah, I think so, and the point, and I mean, that's actually consonant with you know, it is this question, what is the distinction? Is it the angel? Is it the Spirit of God? Is it the presence of God? Do we need to get hung up on that? I don't think we do need to get hung up on it, actually. You know, that there is, I mean, that in the Jacob story in Genesis, you know, he woke up, and I mean, he'd had that strong sense of peace, that strong sense of the presence of God, and he woke up, right? And he says, you know, surely God was in this place, and he was afraid. And there was a sense of, and fear meaning he was in awe, there was a sense of holiness. There was a sense of being in the presence of God. So, and I think that's, you know, I think that's that is ultimately the point, right? I mean, I don't know. Ultimately, I don't know, you know, if there's a spiritual world and what that looks like. And, you know, a lot of our understanding about these things is, you know, theologians thinking about them and coming up with, you know, trying to take one Bible passage and expanding it and coming up with, you know, kind of some explanation of how we think about these things. You know, and some people are inclined to say, well, can't see it. You know, I don't see any angels, so, you know, they must not exist. You know, science hasn't proven it. But, you know, my posture towards these things tends to be one of what I call epistemological humility or epistemic humility, which is all about being realistic about what you can really know and being humble about what you know. You know, I was reading about dark matter this week, which, you know, dark matter and dark energy. Science, physicists have determined that the world is full of dark matter and dark energy. And it's dark not because it's malevolent or evil. It's dark because we can't see it, because we can't measure it, because we don't even know for sure that it's really there. And so what science is saying, that it doesn't respond to light, it doesn't respond to the normal things that we in terms of our senses can pick up on. But scientists are saying that it's actually, there's something there because the universe doesn't make sense without it. Like, if there's not dark matter and there's not something, that all they're aware of is that there is something else that's holding the world together, and we yet don't know what it is. We have no way of measuring it, we have no way of seeing it, but it really is there. And what's even more curious is the stuff we see, the matter we can touch, the matter that operates by the rules we play with, is only 15% of the matter. Dark matter and dark energy is 85% of the universe. I mean, that's what physicists are saying, right? And so what they're basically saying is 85% of the universe, there's this stuff that's there, there's this thing that's there, and we can't see it, and we don't know anything about it, but it's there. And that's where physics is at this point. And so something like that prompts you to say, oh, there's stuff I don't understand. There's stuff I don't know. And I need to maintain what I do know and my sense of what I know with a sense of perspective as a result of that, right? So we get to celebrate angels today. We get to remember angels today. That's what we do as Anglicans. Like, one day out of the year, we're here and we're contemplating the possibility of angels, even though, like, we don't fully understand what or what that might be. But today is the feast of St. Michael and all angels. Amen.